Hey, this interview is with Frank Castaneda, and we are in his home, and it's March 20th, 2009, and Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff are doing the interview. And Frank, could you first start off by telling us your full name?
Francisco Muñoz Castaneda.
And where do you currently live?
Gorham.
In Lewis, Kansas.
Lewis, Kansas.
And when were you born?
December the 3rd of 1930.
Mm-hmm. And where?
Lewis, Kansas.
And you were telling us a little earlier about you said it was the Santa Fe Hilton? Is that what you
called?
You want to tell us a little?
There was the company had homes there where people that worked there lived there. So that's where we lived, and that's where I was born.
About how many homes were there?
I think there was room for probably about five families if they didn't have too big a family.
Mm-hmm. And this was...
Of course, it all grew sometimes.
Just on the north side of the railroad tracks?
Just right on the north side of the railroad track, just right north of Gorham.
And were these all Hispanic families?
At that time, there was. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe there was anybody else that lived there that worked on the railroad, but some of the people that I know worked on the railroad... south of the tracks, I'll say.
Is this what brought your mother and father to Lewis, to the job with the railroad?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they came here?
Yes. Yes. Well, they'd been way back, I suppose, before my dad came here, my folks came here in 27, and they lived at Overly. Because he worked on the railroad then, and when they started cutting back, so he was moved to Lewis. But before that, in the earlier 20s, he was in Deerfield, Kansas, working in the beet fields.
Hmm.
And
what was your father's name?
Joe. J-O-S-E.
Like Jose. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And your mother's name?
Manuela.
And what was your maiden name?
Muñoz.
So that's uh-huh. where you get your middle
mm-hmm.
name.
Uh-huh.
And let's see, I think, yeah, your grandparents, what were their names?
Well, Abundio Muñoz was my grandfather mm-hmm. on my mother's side, and Maria Cervera Muñoz was my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. And on the Castaneda side?
Castaneda side, his name was Nicolás Castaneda, and I'm gonna.
You're gonna blank out on grandma, huh?
Well. Castaneda. That's right.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
See, that her name was Maria Castaneda. Or Muñoz. We're talking about my dad's.
Your grandmother. Grandmother Castaneda.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it would be.
Where were your grandparents from?
Mexico.
Mexico. Uh-huh. On both sides?
Uh-huh.
And uh-huh. So it was your parents that were the first generation in the States, or did they come?
No, they never did come up here.
Your grandparents didn't come?
Okay. No, just him.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, then how about your household? How did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had that.
Come here.
First of all, I had a half brother, and his name was Eusebio.
Guerrero,
yeah. And then because his dad died, and then my mother and my dad, they married. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Then I'm the oldest, mm-hmm. in that's living. See, but I've got a sister that's older than me.
Was she born here in Lewis too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were all born here in Lewis. Mm-hmm.
So you had an older sister, then you, and then
And then I had a from me. Then there would be Pete. And Connie, which I don't Nick, and I don't know what I ought to be doing with the other name. Those are just kind of names that we like. His name was actually Henry. But we always called him Nick because he was Nicolas was my grandfather's mm-hmm. name, and so he was named that.
After that, so there were I'm trying to think, three, five children, or were there more?
No, there's more. I'm at Nick.
Yes.
And then Esther.
Esther. Mm-hmm. Esther was the baby.
Joe. And Cruz. But they were younger. They were actually older than Nick.
Yeah.
As far as.
Okay.
And then that was it.
Well, that was a big family though too.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this, I'm trying to remember. You were born in 1930, was it?
Yes.
So what do you remember about living, it used to be when you were young, living in Lewis, and maybe, I don't know if you can remember the end of the Dust Bowl days and Depression or any of that, and your life as a child of a railroad worker. What was life like?
Well, it was like, back in the 30s, things was kind of hard to come by for everybody, and there in 34, 35 and on up into getting up into 37, I remember the dust the coming up. It seemed like it always came out of the north.
It come in your little house pretty good.
They folks used to put wet blankets and stuff, you know, on the windows and to kind of hold the dust from what would sift in. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that sometimes in the daytime, I was pretty small, but I could remember that sometimes in the daytime it would look dark outside. Mm-hmm.
From the black cloud.
Yeah, it's just
rolling. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, dad was probably pretty lucky to have a job, wasn't he?
Oh yeah. He stayed with it for around 45 years.
I was gonna say, there was a lot of people in the 30s that didn't have a job.
No, that's right. I can remember after, I would come downtown with Dad, and whether it was, you know, the wind seemed like it was always a-blowing. Of course, it is today. You know what Main Street is like that dirt would just, that sand would just go right down Main Street all the way through.
Was the road maybe wasn't paved? Was it paved then or not?
No, it was dirt.
It was all dirt.
The this what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Well, all the streets were dirt in town at that time. Of course, then later on, Lewis Street, well, it got paved, and of course, Main Street. Mm-hmm. And then got the street on, which would be C Street, goes down to the schoolhouse, and it got paved. And that's and today, that's about all that is paved. Yeah.
Do you have something to add?
Since he was talking to you.
I was talking to him.
Oh, you were talking to him? Yeah, he might. He might.
I think almost just have time.
Oh, it's getting close, huh?
Yeah, he might.
Let's see. Okay, now we've talked to quite a few people who were farmers. And that helped them get through the 30s when there wasn't a lot of money. Did you grow things? Was your dad's paycheck enough to feed all those kids?
Or? Well, no, but they always had a garden, put out a garden, and took care of it the best way they could. And you know, for a long time there, we didn't have city water, so everybody had a pump. Mm-hmm. You know, carried water in a bucket. Mm-hmm. But they was able to get through I don't remember exactly when, must have been around 36 or 37, somewhere along in there. Dad acquired a cow and he milked that, so we had milk. And our neighbors, well, of course, you know, we had plenty of milk. And then he got to the point where he was, actually, my grandmother out here in Deerfield, Kansas, they farmed for the sugar beet company. And so they lived on a farm. I remember one time they was coming out and they brought us a hog, a brood sow. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So then Dad kept her and so he started raising hogs and so we every once in a while we'd butcher one, or he would.
And you were still living in the there. Santa Fe, mm-hmm. So there was some land around there that you could have the cow
Hogs there was some of the Santa Fe property, mm-hmm. where he built a shed, mm-hmm. On it, and it wasn't like it was our land. It belonged to the company, mm-hmm.
Did your dad have a certain position with the railroad, or was
he was just
a general
worker, just regular? Mm-hmm.
Did you work just one section of the tracks? I mean, did the Lewis people work like from here to Belpre, uh-huh. or did they go?
No, not in those years.
Okay,
you've heard of Omar out here, mm-hmm. and all that. So Kinsley would come over part way. Probably just past the river this way, and then the Lewis crew would go over there to there, and then they would patrol and on over to you was over to Ed Scheifler's, if you go straight north to the railroad, well, it was that would be the end of this
section.
Okay. Approximately.
And it took like four men, or?
Sometimes there was more, depending on what they were doing. They would hire, but back in those days, I remember that if there was more people, you know, like they could be four, five, six people, and they would. certain amount, I don't know exactly, a certain amount would work about 3 days, and then they'd stay home and let other ones go and work another 3 or 4 days, and then they just rotate that way, and they got paid every 1st and 15th of the month, and so they was able to get a little bit in that month by doing that until things got a little better, and that was getting on up here like in I'd say 39 somewhere along for the railroad, and then they was able to work more people, more hours.
Did your dad end up retiring from the railroad?
Or? Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he spent his whole career.
Oh yeah, all his time on that. Mm-hmm. And he never. The only other work that he would do when he was off would be, just if somebody needed something in their yard and people that knew him, why he'd go work for a little bit, Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, a lot of people here that didn't actually have a job, because I knew everybody, most everybody that was around here then, there's not too many of those left. Mm-hmm. In 1939. My folks started making a deal for this place, and so then it finally ended up, I think we moved over here from over there in the early part of 1940. Mm-hmm. And then we've been here ever since. Then I was raised here.
Mm-hmm.
Of us. The rest of the way, and then when my folks died, and my dad died last, and so then I ended up with the place here, and so that's important.
So you all went to the Lewis schools.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Got any good memories about going to school at Lewis, or bad memories?
Well, maybe good and bad, because I'll have to say that I've had a little bit of the sweet along with the bitter. Mm-hmm.
So you worked for Cross Manufacturing?
Mm.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah.
When did you start working for Cross Manufacturing?
In 1952.
Uh-huh. That's been a really good thing for Lewis, is to have Cross Manufacturing.
Yeah.
It employed a lot of people from Lewis and from Kinsley and surrounding areas. It was a good deal.
I worked on farms. Helping people on the farm. I even helped the Carroll family move houses when he was moving houses. And then, then I just up with them. They was just kind of barely getting started when I started working for them.
You've seen it change so much then, haven't you?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what do you remember about Pearl Harbor? Do you remember, have any memories of the bombing of Pearl Harbor? What you were doing or where you heard about it?
Oh, I'll tell you. I hear that I had just been to California out there messing around.
I'm trying to think. You were 21 years old, right?
there. Oh, there was people out there that I knew. Well, I went along with some. A couple of the Negrete boys that lived here, and we went out there. Well, our folks, dads worked on the railroad, so we had a pass. So we just got on the train and we went out there. And their grandmother lived out there, and so we just went out there for the summer, and. Pick cantaloupe, pick grapes, and you know, for a few days, and then we'd just come back. Well, see, right along in there is when there all this rumbling about the war started up.
So, but you were, this would have been in December, so you would have been back here.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. And yeah, well, yeah, we because we had to start school again. Mm-hmm. And but we heard the rumbling around out there, you know, because, you know, at that age, well, you know, I wasn't paying too much attention to stuff like that. Yeah, I was going to say about going to school. I had when I started school, I couldn't talk English at all. So they had a little tough job teaching me that, but I guess I learned.
Were there others of you there from that, you know, that, or were you the oldest?
I was the oldest.
So you broke them in.
At that, you mean other Mexican people?
Well, in school.
In school?
Where had they?
Oh, yeah, there was some older than me.
Oh, so sure. they were used to dealing with.
Yeah, well, they was maybe in a little different situation. Like I say, I couldn't talk English at all. And but some of my friends that lived here, well, they were a little older, and they had, you know, to where each other they taught.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I didn't have anybody that. Because my folks didn't. Talk English.
How did the kids at school accept you?
Oh, about like I'd say about normal.
My kids.
Oh yeah, well, you know, just like when my kids started going to school, some of them had a little problem. Some of them. In those days, I think that there was, well, I don't know whether I ought to say that or not, but, you know, people, well, all of us had a little problem dealing with each other, you know, like.
Well, we still do.
The Mexican was kind of new around here, and so it made a little difference, but then, anyway, I went to school. And my brothers, my sisters, and they graduated. I didn't, but then.
How far did you get?
Oh, probably about the eighth grade. Mm-hmm.
And then you started working.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say I left. I left. I left school.
You didn't go back.
But.
Do you remember why you left then? If it wasn't to work.
Oh. Well, I did get jobs around, you know, but I had a problem with school, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any problem with anybody. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we're going to bury my third grade teacher.
Oh, she was your third grade teacher?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Say
yeah.
The name louder.
June McClure.
Uh-huh.
I knew she taught in the at JUCO and things like that. I didn't know she taught.
No, she came here, and before that, there was a teacher. I had a teacher by the name of Catherine West, and she lived here. And then, but she was a little older. She was a little older, and then.
So June must have been pretty young.
Well, yeah, well, you know, she's 83 or 80.
90.
Oh, 90.
No, she'd have to be. Yeah.
Okay, well, so, yeah, in those days. She was a lot younger, sure enough, but yeah. Then.
And they may she may have started teaching young also, uh-huh. even then, you know, because uh-huh. they didn't have to go to yeah. 4 years of college. And uh-huh.
like they did
either.
Yeah.
Well,
gone
anyway, she was she was my third grade teacher at that time.
Right
now. But oh, really? The way I look at it now is. I had a little problem with school, but that don't mean, you know, I look at it now and it was just the times, I suppose, I made it. They taught me pretty good as far as, don't get me wrong, it was just...
a lot of people didn't go beyond the 8th grade.
I began to talk and to do things and get. But I never have forgotten how to talk Spanish.
Good.
No,
that's
I never
good.
Have.
That's great. That's great. I should have brought my. Books.
I wish I could speak both. okay, then. Pearl Harbor happened. How did the war affect your family? You were the oldest, so you wouldn't have any brothers. Did you have uncles or anybody who went into service? Or
No. I had a cousin that went into the service, and three cousins.
Three
cousins. That was Sicily. Well, we're in there. One of them I know, it was kind of like in Africa.
A few of them started in Northern Africa, and then they went over to Italy.
Because they got out all right.
Were they here in Kansas? Or
uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Out here around Deerfield.
And they all came home.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And as far as relatives, relatives, you know, I had a couple of brother-in-laws that was in the service too. Three brother-in-laws that was in the service. Her brothers, and. During that time, well, not that far back, but more this way, they'd gotten out of there probably 47, 48, or along in there somewhere.
Right there.
Yeah. And as far as. Of course, the war, everything. You know, I remember having to get food stamps. You know, the at the courthouse. I don't remember exactly what office, but you'd go and they issue out some stamps, and then
you need, like sugar and
oh yeah, and I don't remember exactly what all kind items. There were, but even at one time here, even to buy gasoline, buy tires. Of course, there wasn't no tires to be bought then, but there was some kind of satin grade tires at one time there that started coming out. But still, the farmers had a heck of a time because they had to. Show how they needed them and what, and I don't know exactly the procedure that they used, but it was all had to all be done at the courthouse, or some office over there about that. I remember that sugar and coffee was kind of a restricted items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't just go buy 5 pounds of sugar like we do today. But it had to be. I even remember the colors of those stamps that they would issue. And a lot of people, well, everybody had some sort of rationing type stamps and stuff back then. And of course, tires, cars, I know that. Of course, I wouldn't have had a new car anyway, but, you know, there was people that were driving, and they didn't have no chrome on them. They was just thin, just painted, and just no chrome like they do today. And I remember that there wasn't no cars painted green. And remember, I don't. Maybe you don't know about the Lucky Strike cigarette pack was green. Well, they took that off. They made it white because they needed something about the war. They needed that
for
color,
their
that
uniforms
paint.
Yeah. and the tanks and the I've never heard that.
I didn't either.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it never has come back. The Lucky Strikes were in cigarettes. We're in a green package and a red center, and they are today. But the Lucky Strike today is white. They never come back to the green. But that's the way.
That's very interesting.
I didn't know that.
That's the way it was. Cars were painted another color. I don't remember exactly just why, but I know they weren't green. They weren't any green, anything green or anything. They took all the chrome off. They just had just an iron for a bumper, and maybe painted black.
You said you had a pass with the railroad. Did you get to ever use that any other time, that other than going to California?
Oh, I went to Mexico.
Mexico? See grandparents?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you go from here to Santa Fe and then down? Was that how it
would I went through Santa Fe, yeah. But the run was, it would go through Santa Fe, mm-hmm. and on down to Albuquerque, mm-hmm. and then on south to El Paso.
Mm-hmm. What part of Mexico did your grandparents live?
If you can, Torreon, they lived in a town, that's where my dad come from, was in Rio Grande,
mm-hmm.
which is from El Paso. There it'd probably be like 500 or 600 miles on down, and
still further south.
Uh-huh.
Oh, long way.
And then they moved.
And that's where you would go when you.
Yeah,
you
went there, and then they moved. To a place called Torreon. It was on the same line, but it was just up here closer because it was getting a little bit too far away. To my dad used to go down there anyway to see him.
Sure.
And so we got him a little closer.
Well, now this is a question. Today, many of the Hispanics that have come up here send money back home. Did your dad do that too?
Oh, yeah.
It was, mm-hmm. That goes back that far?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes it wasn't very much, but then he helped his folks down there.
Well, money went a lot further down
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure
did. I don't know how it is now. I went down there a lot. When I worked for Cross Manufacturing, they had a plant down there.
Oh.
And so... I got to go down there and help set up.
Well, yeah, with your language skills and
and so then after that, then I just ever so often, if they had a little trouble with it, they just send me down there, have me go down there and help them, whatever I could. And I've done that several years while they had that plant down there. They don't have it anymore.
But, and you were a machinist?
And a mechanic.
And a mechanic.
You know, they had a plant out here. They come up with a plant at Lamar, Colorado. Mm-hmm. Well, I helped them set that up, too. No, not because I was King Kong or anything like that. It's just that I was in that field, and so they would just send me out there to help. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they had a plant down here at Greensburg, too, for a while. Of course, it's not there now.
Do you know all this? I'm not from here, so this is all new to me.
No, I think I kind of vaguely knew that they had one in Mexico, but, No.
Well, see, do you say you're about Esther's age?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you might, some of that kind of stuff might be a little bit...
Well, I was probably interested in other things besides
that. Yeah. I had a good time with them. I was there for 35 years or such a matter. And then even after I didn't have enough after I got out of there, you know, I just retired. And then I put up my machine shop here, which I had it for about 20 years, but now I don't. Now I just quit. I just
quit altogether.
Yeah.
Going back to a little bit of the 1940 areas, then, what was it like living in Lewis during the war, and right after? I've heard that like. There was Saturday nights were pretty fun downtown.
Oh yeah. We had two grocery stores. At one time, we had two banks downtown, a shoe shop, a beer joint, and a confectionery. We could get ice cream, hamburgers, and we had a couple of little restaurants back then that were. Not like this building that's up there now, although it's not a restaurant, and in fact we run it for several years.
Yes, you did.
But then
missed those enchiladas.
But anyway, had two grocery stores, and we had two automobile agencies, which was the Ford Garage and the Chevrolet Garage, or I call it garage, but it was an agency where they. Sold cars there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, going back, we're trying to figure this out. Where were the grocery stores?
Well, right on Main Street. They were. Well, one burned down, right there where the post office is. Right on Main Street, but it's right there where the post office is today.
There was a grocery store there?
Uh-huh.
Thank you! Thank you! I've told people that. No.
No.
You know about when it burned down?
Well, I was pretty young. I was pretty young.
Oh, well, 10 years old?
Well, less than that, probably.
Less than that.
But I'd come downtown with Dad and... You know, for sure, I can't tell you what year, but when it burnt down, it was, well, it was in, like, in the late 30s, you know, not 39 or anything, because we was still down there, mm-hmm. or up there, and it just burnt down and left a big old hole there. Well, The Brumfield family owned it, had that store,
Well, what you said?
A.B. Brumfield.
And then he built across the street.
Right. Right there on the corner.
You've made her day.
But you need to tell that to a lot of people because they don't know that.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know that. I know that a lot of people don't know that.
We'll get it recorded in the library, and then it'll be gospel.
Right. Yeah. I just can't tell you exactly the years, but I know that it was not in the 40s. Mm-hmm. It was more in the 30s back when.
And then was there another one maybe later across the street there in, not where the pub is, but the bank or something?
Not later, but the same time.
Same time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was one in there. Okay.
It was, well, I won't be able to tell you the address, but it's right on Main Street, and almost across the street from where the grocery store building is today. Mm-hmm. They're not using, it's not a grocery store, but just across the street and just a little bit to the south, because the first one was a bank. It's not there no more.
First one, on that corner?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On that corner, we're going down Main Street here, and that's Brumfield Grocery Store, mm-hmm. and over here today the post office is but across the street, there's, if you notice there's a blank space, mm-hmm. there.
Right.
Well, that was a bank.
Okay.
And the Home State Bank was just, well, right north of where the grocery store is,
right,
today.
Yeah. Where are they? The Rock Building, or...
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a community center, not...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
That was the bank, Home State Bank. And then, but right off of this corner where I'm saying that bank was, mm-hmm. next to it was the drugstore. And C.I. Barnes had it, and he was a pharmacist. You know, you could get prescription drugs there, and then right next to it, in fact, the buildings were attached with a grocery store, and in fact, they had between the walls they had a door. It was there. That's the way they wanted it, and. You know, you just walk from the drugstore into the grocery store, or back again.
And who am I met?
Cliff Johnson.
Johnson, okay.
Clifford Johnson. Okay. As a matter of fact, in 47, starting the 47, that grocery store wasn't there anymore. But Cross Manufacturing moved some of their machinery in that side.
Oh, really?
Where the grocery store was at, and I worked in there. Several other people worked in there.
And when was that about?
Oh, I'd say probably in 47, mm-hmm. somewhere along in there.
We've come to a good source, I think.
I think so, too. Can I tell a couple? No.
All right, this came up yesterday, and I think you've disproved it. Was there a band shell somewhere, and where was the band shell? You know, one of those places where the band would go and play, like for picnics?
Well...
A little pavilion?
No. I don't remember, like, a pavilion or anything.
Or, I mean, a little... place with a band, a stage.
Well, like today, you see where the community hall building is,
mm-hmm.
just right north of it is where, well, I call it the Lewis Press,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't there then.
Okay.
In fact, the Lewis Press was at the back end of and that was vacant.
And that was vacant.
That spot there. So, yeah, the school would have set up and play music there on Saturday.
Okay.
And then also, there was somebody that come in and put up a big old screen and have
movies. Okay, Kay Carney was trying to remember that, and she thought it was where the post office was. But now we can...
Well, there was the school, see, because they had kind of a little platform there. Mm-hmm. But see, when there was the and for a long time they never filled it in. But there was a kind of a platform there, and the school kids, the school band would come.
Where the post office was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she was right. She was remembering.
And
they let them play
well,
over
where
the whole...
where the post office is now.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they had it fenced and stuff, you know, and stuff like that.
Okay. We cleared that up for
Yeah. Of course, the community hall has been there quite a while. Yeah. 1925, I think, but I'm not real sure.
Was the telephone office in that? It kind of has brownish siding on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember
because that other building, that building, you know, there's a building right next to what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's new.
That's the new telephone. They got their equipment in. And stuff. And then there's another building, mm-hmm. but it wasn't there. It was a massage. It is today, but it wasn't there back then. That building was that was just a open lot there.
Okay.
But that building that you're talking about, that's kind of a just a, and it's got brown
shingles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was the telephone exchange. Okay. Which gosh. Well, but it went, see, it was way back there. But it was still going. Well, after her and I were married, it was still being run that way.
And that brings us right into it. When did you? How did you two get together?
Huh?
How did you two get together?
I used to work at the restaurant in Greensburg, yeah. And for some reason, he found out about it, and he'd go down there to see me.
Uh-huh. So. Is that where you grew up, was Greensburg?
No, I grew up in Mullenville.
Mullenville.
Uh-huh.
Okay, how did you get from Galva to Mullenville? Didn't you...
Oh, gosh.
Well, by way of the railroad.
The railroad.
They were her dad was working for the railroad, not the Santa Fe.
Been the Southern Pacific?
Well, that was Rock Island.
Rock Island.
Yeah, we moved to Mullenville in... 32, I believe.
So you don't remember Galva at all?
Yes,
you grew up in
Mullenville. No.
So you found out about her? Started hanging out down to Greensburg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not how old were you?
Let's
see,
very young.
16.
Probably. 16.
And you were...
15, 16, I don't know.
There was a reason you quit school.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think it was. Cause I worked... you know the Newsoms? Mm-hmm. The older ones?
No.
I know Caroline and Dean's mother and father. Do you remember?
Harold.
Harold. Yeah.
Well, see, I worked for his dad.
Oh, you did?
Down there,
out
south
there.
Of Centerview. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just started working down there, and then I helped Merle, and I helped Lowell, and you know, it was kind of a family deal.
Okay.
And I went to Colorado, to Lyman, Colorado. To help him do some wheat seeding up there,
mm-hmm.
But that was kind of at the end of 46, I think, or right in there. And when, but of course, I already knew her. But then when we come back, well, then that's when we got married. It was kind of in 47. Well, it was in 47.
So you were 17 when you got about. Married, and you were a little cousin.
I'd say I never, probably pretty close to that.
And you got married in New Mexico. Why was that?
Well, there was a lot more red tape in those days because of our age.
Uh-huh.
That's about
did
all.
Did you
I
still have that railroad pass?
Oh no! Oh no! I had a little beat up car, but it made it.
So did you elope?
More or less.
Yeah. Your parents didn't know.
No.
Right. They didn't know.
I didn't know. Huh?
No.
What was the reaction when you got back?
Oh, it was all right because we had we didn't go see them for about 2 weeks later, and by that time they were kind of calmed down. And we were too.
Well, my folks and her folks, they knew each other. Oh, they had been acquainted, and and they thought, well. Or that's what I'm thinking, is they thought, they're right here close, and we're just, so that's the way it was. Now, we've been here ever since.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to have worked out.
Yeah.
So, were you in school at the time?
No.
So, you were in school.
I quit school also, mm-hmm. and I was attending school in Greensburg when I quit. Mm-hmm. I was a freshman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't unusual.
Mm-mm, no,
at that time.
Yeah,
a lot of people.
I wanted to work.
Yeah, and you probably needed to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Kay Carney told us yesterday that she became engaged, and she, her husband was a soldier,
uh-huh.
her boyfriend, uh-huh. fiance, mm-hmm. and she went to California to see him. And married him out there and called back home and said, hey, we got married.
Yeah.
So, really?
She did the sort of the same thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I knew him. I've known her folks. Mm-hmm. And I've known the Carneys. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long. I mean, for quite a while, I know most everybody here. The only ones I don't know is the ones that's been around here a year or so.
Yeah.
I don't know quite a few of them. There isn't a lot of them, but I mean, there's some young people that I don't know. I don't know them. Well, we come here with my folks. My folks were already here. We built a house right back in the backyard here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't even know a little house.
Well, it's not there now.
Oh, it's not there now.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, here a while back, it was there for several years. here 4, 5, 6 years ago, we built that garage out there. And it was going to be in the way, so we tore it down. We was just using it for storage.
Did you cry?
And we had another house. We bought a house over here on the corner, right here in town. So we lived there.
And because you had a baby that first year too, and
mm-hmm.
So were you in the little house with the baby?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had three children. We lived in that little house back here.
Mm-hmm. If you put down all the names that was on that sheet. Mm-hmm.
And there's the years. And the rest are on this side.
Okay.
I didn't put 12 blanks for everybody.
Okay.
That's what he was looking for. He didn't have enough children, and he knew he
had to find room for him somewhere.
Okay.
So did you work after you were married, or just started your family? And
no, I didn't. I didn't work.
She was busy.
These are children. Oh, very busy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all your children went to school here, and
most of them graduated. They're fairly good.
There's only one missing there.
Yeah, we lost a 5-month-old baby. Do you have her down there, Josephine?
Yeah.
And what did she die of?
Pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she'd had a bad cold. It turned into pneumonia, and she passed away New Year's Day.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That was hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 5 months old.
To get over something like that.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. she's married in Kingsley.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're sexton for the cemetery, right?
Mm-hmm. Here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. no, I don't take care of it. There's another man that does the mowing and that kind of stuff. No, I don't do that.
You do the records.
I keep the book, and I dig the graves, and keep track of that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, not to change the subject, but one time, it's been 3 or 4 years ago, maybe, that you told me that you had her. All Westwood was out here that one time, and you was making up some new maps or made up some new maps or
a list.
We may have a list.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's on the computer,
mm-hmm. on the internet. So you can get on and
on our webpage,
uh-huh.
and read who's buried there and uh-huh. the dates and things.
But
it
has not been updated.
No,
I have not updated it
uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
since. Whenever you gave me that list,
uh-huh.
I have not updated that. So the new ones will not be
appear. Sometime if you would give us the new ones, then we'll
yeah,
add those.
Yeah, well, we'll see which ones, because, yeah, there's been several of them.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's been several of them.
And then we need to find a volunteer to go out there and to take pictures of all the tombstones. Because we have we have all the pictures for Hillside, St. Nick.
What like what? Like, go to this tombstone and take a picture of that, mm-hmm. move over or wherever.
And with a digital camera, you know, this kind of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
when this is done,
we'll
just a minute.
Show you.
Yeah, we'll show you.
Mm-hmm. We'll show you after when we turn this off.
Uh-huh.
I had a question. Okay. When did your father become a citizen of the United States?
Well, my dad never did.
Never
come.
Did.
No.
But you were born here, so you were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or my mother, as far as citizens, like they're doing. A lot of people are doing it today now. The Mexican people that have come up here, a lot of them are going through all the, but they never. But they were. Oh, how can I say this? My dad had a passport. He was legal.
He was legal.
He could go, come and go. Mm-hmm. And he had to update this passport
mm-hmm.
ever so many months or maybe a year or so. And then he just showed that as he went. He never really needed it to go down there, but coming back is when he needed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Either one of you, did you ever experience any discrimination like some of the people today are experiencing?
I thought about this the other day, and I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. I'm actually not complaining. I just that's been quite a few years ago when all this mm-hmm. happened, you know, and I don't think there's much of that around here anyway. I always thought, you know, if you conduct yourself in a good manner, well, you're going to get by.
The people we have been interviewing, when we've asked them, they've been white people, and we've asked them that question, and they always say there was no difference.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you were their classmate. I mean, not you personally, but classmates, yeah. and you lived in the community, and even the black folk
uh-huh.
that were in Kinsley, mm-hmm. there just was no difference.
Yeah.
That's what they've been saying.
Yeah, well, And that's what I say too, because I never noticed anything much, you know. There was some back when I was, you know, I don't know, these people that you were talking to, I don't know what, how far back or what age they are.
We're talking about World War II and 30s and 40s but we didn't know if that was selective remembering or.
Yeah. Well, like I say, you know, all in all, I think that, you know, everything was fine. There's going to be a little, I mean, this road is not going to be smooth. I mean, that's right. There's going to be a few stones and along the way, but you just got to learn how to treat it. You know, I mean, I don't worry about it anymore, or maybe not even then. But you know, the only thing I can say is that back then. I was younger, and maybe I dwelled too much on stuff that today, it don't bother me. I'll just come home, and I'll go to bed when I want to.
We had a question, and we don't know the answer to this, and maybe you won't know either. But we were thinking about today with the war situation. And the fact that if you go in the military today, you can become a citizen. Do you know if back then people in the Hispanic community could go into the service in order to get citizenship? To serve in the military? We don't know the answer to this question. It just sort of came.
Well, back in those days, I don't think as far as the war, there was Mexican people that went to the war, but they were from down there. I mean, they went from there.
They went from Mexico. Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't come up here and then go in. There could have been some, but
We don't even know if that was a route. You know, you know, we were just wondering, because today there are, you know, people that have done that. They've gone into the military service and they're serving, and that is a faster way to get U.S. citizenship.
I'd call it a little leverage.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And we just wondered if that was existed in World War II or not.
I never heard of it.
We're going to have to probably get into some archives and find that out with the government, because we don't know the answer.
No, I never. There was no. I was going to say, you know, several years ago, but he was born here anyway, not necessarily in Kinsale. Right.
Okay,
and also his brother was in the service too, but he was a little younger than John Rincon. Mm-hmm.
So you had cousins and you had brothers in the war. When they came back, were they different? Did the war change them any way you could notice?
No, not that I could tell. They were fine.
Oh, as far as changing, about the only thing I could say was that they were a little older, and they were
more grown up.
Well, their mind, their everything was developed more, and so. They weren't. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, when some of them went in, you know, they might have been 18, 19 years old, and that was kind of young, but and they come back and they was already in their 20s. Even around here, that changes.
Mm-hmm. I had a brother that went into the service. He went into the he was a in the Navy. And he was very young. He was only just barely 16. Mm-hmm. But they accepted him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Well, it was just a matter of paperwork. You know, you put yeah. certain numbers down.
And they didn't check too close.
That's no. right, no. and no, and that's all right. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that there were a lot of young people,
especially after Pearl Harbor. They reacted to Pearl Harbor, and my first father-in-law was that way. He went in at 17, and he was reacting, and he finished high school. He got out of high school to go fight. It was just a patriotic thing to do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. When your brother came home, was there any kind of celebration or just life went on?
No, there wasn't. No. We just continued with
not anything special. Everybody was happy.
I had four brothers that were in the service.
Four.
Mm-hmm. The name, but.
He's a cousin to my sister Dora, and he was in World War II. He was over in Saipan.
No, I know the name, but I can't.
And while he was over there, their son was born, Carl Jr.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And he lives in Pratt. Dora was living in Gruber when the tornado struck, and so she's living in Pratt now.
Did she lose everything?
She lost her home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she went to the neighbor's cellar, and she survived that way.
Mm-hmm. Let me just stop.
Did you hear this stuff?
No. I didn't hear it. I'm sorry, too busy talking.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Shut this one. I'm going to figure out how to do it.
Mm-hmm. How often did you hear from them when they were away?
Not very often. No, not very often at all. Mm-hmm.
Did the letters come in stacks? I mean, maybe where you got, they've been held up?
No. No, but they were, what do you call it?
Censored?
Censored.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were censored. Mm-hmm.
When, that's what I was going to say. That, during the, I don't know how it is today, but back then, during the heavy war, they would censor all of that, and I'm sure that maybe if something wasn't quite right to them, they'd throw it away or file it someplace else. Mm-hmm. The government or whoever was doing it.
Yeah, and you had to write on that thin paper, you know, then send it by
onion skin.
The onion skin?
Mm-hmm. Onion skin paper, a thin paper.
Oh, yeah.
So it wouldn't weigh so much.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, can you think of any way that World War II changed you or the community here? Were there things that were different after the war than before, either good or bad? Or
well, it was a little bit of mixture, I think. You know, a little bit after the war and after, because it just didn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, things started just kind of. I guess the only way I can say it is that everything started kind of loosening up a little more, you know. The grocery stores, you never had to have a special permit I call it permit, but they used to issue stamps.
Coupon books.
Uh-huh. And that kind of went away, and you was able to more or less just go and get some of those things that at one time it was hard to get.
Like your tires or gas.
Yeah. There was a word, there was a name, and maybe you can think of it. What they call it, black market, or what was it? Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. when somebody was handing stuff under the table. Well, there's still some of that today on some things. Not necessarily groceries or anything like that. Other things that are going on, but and that's what I see, that everything, and of course money was always tight. and it is again. So, I don't.
Did most of the young men who went off to war, did they come back to Lewis? Or?
Well, the ones that were from around here, right now. Well, I can think of some of them that, in fact, I was out there at the cemetery, and a fellow by the name of Conroe Newcomb, he's out there. I knew he was out there, but he went to school here.
He was in the service?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. He didn't come back? He was killed?
Well, he died, and he's out here. But there was, some others. You know, we was talking about was Scott.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he died. And, well, not Willis.
No,
the not, other not, mm-hmm. Yeah, Ben Willis was in the service too, but a little more up this way. And, I can't think of any right now, but I'm sure that there was some that died.
Now, Lewis started losing population. Was that after the war, or in the 50s or 60s? Or?
Well, still, like, I'd say, roughly, like, maybe 60 years ago, from there on, it started kind of diminishing a little bit. Not real fast, but, I mean, and then it got to where, the grocery stores got closed down or had to shut down, and we're down to one bank, and then it's been kind of changing hands and stuff, you know. We even had a laundromat here at one time, a coin operated. Mm-hmm. I'd say that I don't know. Some people, farmers, came to town. You know, they kind of retired from the farm, came to town, but then they've died.
Mm-hmm. And the young people didn't stay.
No.
Right.
No, there wasn't, outside of Cross Manufacturing, there wasn't too much to stay for a young person. Our boys, we got one here. Our oldest boy worked, he's been working, not now, but has worked for Boeing for quite a few years. Well, he retired. Yeah, he retired from that. He's working for a manufacturing farm implement type concern, and the other one is in Topeka, and he has his own business, on caretake. He takes care of animals.
Oh, good dogs.
And horses. And, mm-hmm. The boy that we have here now, or that is here, he works out here at the plant, mm-hmm. Cross plant. But, I guess what I was getting at was that...
So you had 12 children, and you've got one. Do you have any of your girls here?
Kinsley.
Amy. So not Amy.
Francis.
So we've got Francis. We have two that are still in Edwards County. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. two out of 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Frances is the only girl. Daughter.
Well, I mean, a boy and a girl is what you're hearing. Yeah. So that sort of tells you how the kids can't stay around.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Frances, she's been over there for a pretty good number of years with that medical lodge. We got several kids around in Texas. We got 3-4 of them in Texas.
I just thought of this, like Belpre had a Catholic church and some other churches, and Kinsley had a Catholic church and several Catholic churches in the in the country. But Lewis never had a Catholic church, is that right?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that always surprised me, and I was just double-checking. So you always went to Belpre?
Years ago we went to Belpre.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then when we... But then later on, we'll go with Kinsley too. But then for just a short period, we lived over south of Belpre on a farm, her and I, and the kids, and we was there for a while. But we went to church in Belpre then with the family and stuff. But then later we came. When we moved back into town, of course, the kids always went to school here anyway, even though we was out there. Yeah. But the reason we went out there is because it was a bigger house. and we just needed more room. And then when they started leaving, well, then we just came on back here.
So you always usually went to Belpre.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But we've been going to Kinsley now for... several years. I used to take the kids to catechism classes as they was growing up in school, and I just loaded my nephews and nieces and my kids. I'd take them over there on Wednesdays, or I don't hardly remember now just when it was, and I'd take them over there, and they used to have classes there, catechism classes.
Yeah, they still do.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anything else you would like to get onto this tape that you can think of? Any story you want to tell, pass on to your children? Grandchildren? Great-grandchildren?
I think that's pretty well. I mean, it's hard for me to just think of all this, but it's been pretty nice that you ask me questions, because I have a better chance of, I either know it or I don't know it.
Well, you've done very well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This town has... really changed. I don't have any pictures or any pictures that I could find. We had ice cream parlor and
outside of what's in the Centennial book.
The filling stations that were here in town. A lot of them.
Well, then the highway
several.
Changed.
Yeah.
And right. You used to go down Main Street.
Right. And you used to come in. And there was a curve. not like it is there today.
Yeah. But you went down Main Street.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you did at Belpre, too. You went down
right.
Main Street. Mm-hmm. So that, when that changed, that took away some chance of business.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right, and I know that have meetings, and they'd have meetings, mainly up on Main Street, you know, and talking about what to do about it, and, you know, because, yeah, all the traffic out there doesn't come into town unless they just turn in and come in. But